All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. December the 30th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it is terrific wherever you are at. A little cold, a little breezy, but beautiful. Clear skies. It's been a bit overcast and rainy here for the few days. And we got like 5 inches of rain last week. It's been pretty crazy here, but it's a beautiful day. It is Saturday. Typically working today. Did work today. Actually got up this morning at 5:30. Went for a nice walk. 2 miles maybe. Came home. Came to work. Did some clients. And now I'm going to go paddle. Paddling at noon. Super excited. Reached out. I was supposed to paddle on Wednesday. Got rained out. And reached out to the club and my coach asked if we could start a little late so that I could join because I typically would work till noon, but I'm going to be able to get out of here. I wanted to sit down and see if I could do a podcast before I head out, but super grateful to the club. They adjusted the schedule a little bit, which allowed me to come and paddle. So I'm excited. I'm ready for a good beat down. I'm an alcoholic, right? I'm an alcoholic, retired alcoholic drug addict, right? Have definitely some demons in my life, but, you know, there are other demons, right? There are other demons that show up in my life, one of them being food, right? And the other one being money. And unfortunately, this time of year, both those demons show up. And, you know, unlike alcohol, all you have to do is just stop drinking, right? And you're good, right? I suggest do meetings, go to sponsor, work the steps. But, hey, put down the alcohol. It's a great step, right? It's you're headed in the right direction. But food, shit. You know, we love food. Everybody eats food. You can't just give up food, right? And at Christmas, you just can't put down your foot and say, I'm not spending any money. So I've had to, over the years, I've talked about in this podcast, this is a tough month for me. A couple months prior to this, up to this, is tough for me. But I've learned, right? I learned what to do. I try to be careful. But the food part is a challenge because it's so good, right? And all these people bring great food and homemade candy and cookies and snacks. And, oh, it's just been, I mean, I've been okay. But, you know, I'm ready to shut down the snack train. But I've been trying, you know, I haven't been paddling as much. I talked about it. But I've been doing a lot of walking, trying to get up in the morning. You know, I tend to make, like, if I can't go out and run 5 miles, what's the point, right? Why bother, right? Because I compare to what I used to be like, you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, when I was doing a lot of running and, you know, meeting up with my buddy, and when we lived down by the trail, I could just run out from the front door and head out into an amazing piece of land and enjoy it and enjoy nature. And, you know, I did that for a long time. But now that we moved, I don't have that luxury. I can walk though. Well, plus I'm also getting a little older, right? And I just don't feel like running as much. And people always say walking and running are the same thing. The walking takes longer. So I've been getting up and I've been trying to do some walking. I walked with the doctor, my buddy Jimmy, yesterday. We did 4 miles. I was sore yesterday. So that was good. It was a great walk, good chat. We always have a lot of fun. And got up this morning and walked. And today I'm going to paddle. And I'm super excited. I'm ready to go out and bang out a couple hours of suffering. Because that is what it is. I always say, you're not living. Oh, wait a minute. I always say, I'm not living unless I am suffering. Nice. Man, I love freaking Paul McCartney and Wings. I cannot get away from this band. I played the playlist in my in the salon all day. So good. Just simple, fresh. I mean, obviously old music, but definitely sounds current to me. Love it. Love it. Love it. So that's a good old song. Jet. I don't know what album that's off of. I think it's off of... Oh, I don't know. Whatever. Go find it if you like it. It's great. But yeah, so out to the ocean today. We're going to get some paddling in, and it's a perfect day. My wife's like, you are going to be sore tonight. And I was like, you bet. Right? You bet. But man, I don't care. You know, this is the life I get to live. You know, like I said, I'm not living unless I'm suffering. It's a funny statement. I know I've talked about it in the past before because people are like, oh, I love saying shit like that. People are like, oh my God, you're so extreme. What does that mean? And, you know, I need suffering. I need shit not to go my way. I need to work through things. I need to push through things. I need to hit that line. I need to hit that wall and push through it, right? That's when the magic takes place. I learned that through running. You know, running taught me. I've said this before. If you want to learn about yourself, go for a run. Right, go for a run and listen to that babbling idiot inside between your ears that tells us all sorts of shit like, maybe you should walk, right? Maybe you shouldn't have done this. Your knees are going to hurt. It's too cold. It's too windy. It's too this. It's too that. It's this whole voice of doubt, right? And I think when I first, you know, when I very first got sober, and I've, you know, the first thing I wanted to do was just catch up and make myself a better person, right? For so long, whether it was the drugs and the drinking or just the drinking, you know, I focused on those things. I did not focus on my physical self. It's not like I was drinking and drugging and going to the gym, right? I wasn't doing a damn thing. I was partying and doing a lot of ups. So I was definitely skinny. So, you know, fat wasn't an issue for me. I was super thin and because I was on drugs, right? And so, but, you know, I didn't pay any attention. So when I finally got sober, because I didn't stay skinny, right? I got off that speed and came to Delaware and swapped it out for vodka. And I just, vodka, chicken wings, cigars, just, you know, the heathenist shit. And it started to reflect in my physical appearance. I started to put on weight. My clothes didn't fit right. I was slobbish. I just looked terrible. And when I finally put down the drink, I just wanted to be better, right? I just wanted to get back to some normalcy, and I wanted to do it overnight, right? And so I joined the gym, right? I started eating better, got on vitamins. I remember when there's all these sober pirates that you meet when you come into the program. I met a few. I shouldn't say that. There was a few, and they all have a lot of great suggestions. And I remember this guy's like, you need to be, you know, working out, you need to get on vitamins. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll take vitamins. And I must have bought $500 worth of vitamins. And I don't need vitamins. I mean, if you want to take vitamins, take your vitamins, whatever. I don't take any vitamins. I find that I can get everything I need in food. But I was open to the idea because I wanted to get better quick. But I started running. And the running really, you know, first of all, it taught me that there is another voice inside my head, right, that isn't a huge fan of anything that I do that helps me, right? Anything that requires me to push through fear, right? Work through anxiety, that voice isn't the most positive one, right? And so, you know, I learned a lot about myself out there running. But I also learned that right before that voice says I should stop, I always say, just don't stop. Just keep going. Maybe we're going to find the miracle just after that last step, right? Just keep pushing. I'm not living unless I'm suffering, and suffering means that I'm ignoring that voice, because the voice is the self voice, and the only problem, self is the only one that ever has any problems, right? Self doesn't want to run anymore. Self is tired, right? Self is worried about the knees. Humility is like, hey, just take it slow, man. If you're getting tired, slow down the pace, right? But we got a goal here, and we're trying to work towards it. It can be a little gray, right? Because you don't want to confuse you know, a different version of humility or a different version of self. You know, I think the fact that I'm trying to improve myself is serving self a little bit too. Yeah, I don't know. It's tough. It is tough because we want to be healthy. We want to look good. For who? Other people, right? So self's behind that. I don't know. I think it's something we constantly have to balance. But, you know, we admitted we were powerless over self, that our lives have become unmanageable. And so when something becomes unmanageable, that's when we address it. You know, when I remember when I first came in, my first sponsor was like, all right, you're going to need to refrain from drugs and alcohol. And I was like, okay, you know, that makes sense, right? Drugs and alcohol. So that means, like, you know, all booze, right? Drugs, right? I guess that includes marijuana. I guess it did for me. You know, when I came in, that would be a drug that would fall under drugs, right? I was also doing a lot of speed and obviously pills and stuff like that. Even though the pills didn't quite fall under that in the first time, in the first go around, but I also didn't. I was a little unaware of my relationship with pills because I wasn't a big fan of pills. I didn't even take pills, right? I took some Quaaludes or Somas or something, you know, in the past, just trying them out. But it wasn't part of my daily use of things that I would use. So pills weren't really something that I struggled with. Pills would later show up later after I hurt my back. But, you know, drugs and alcohol. And I'm like, yeah, I got that. But there's a lot of other things that become unmanageable. And, you know, we stay, you know, I celebrated 15 years on the 22nd, and I'm free from drugs and alcohol, right? But, you know, I can spend too much money. You know, can that become unmanageable? Does that interrupt that relationship with God, right? What are the other things in my life that can become unmanageable or that are unmanageable, right? You know, I know people that have not had a drink, right? That have not had a drug but have other issues, right? Other issues. But they're not those, so, you know, it's all, you know, they've got the time and everything is good. But what are the other things that can become unmanageable in our lives, right? And so I have, for me at least, I have to be careful. You know, there's been times when I was working out that I really got consumed by the working out. All I wanted to do, especially when we have like Instagram and Facebook, you know, I would go for a run, post a picture, post my miles. You know, it was all feeding self. I was having fun, right? It's fun. Nobody seemed to be bothered by it. It didn't become unmanageable, right? I wasn't like, sorry, fam, I can't hang out with you. I got to go run so I can take a picture. But I did start doing, you know, and I don't know if I've talked about this. You know, there was a time where I was running 4 or 5 days a week. I was getting up at like 4 a.m. running Gordon's Pond just so I can be out there for this amazing sunrise so I could take the picture, right, and post it on my Instagram. I wanted the response. I wanted people to say, hey, man, awesome picture, right? And I would go to more extreme levels to get a better picture, right? Running at 4 a.m, running, you know, Gordon's Pond. I mean, all this crazy shit, you know, just to get these amazing pictures because I wanted to be recognized for it. In my mind, I'm like, I'm doing good. I'm staying healthy. But it can start, you know, the family's like, where's Dad? Oh, he's out running this morning, right? And when I reflect back on it, it was really one of the saddest, darkest times of my life. I was in a marriage. Interesting, you know, I don't discuss that, but, you know, it was starting to fall apart, and I was seeking joy and happiness through other people commenting on pictures that I would take. It would give me some happiness. I don't know, right? And this is right in the middle of being sober, right? This is probably, I mean, my son, so this had to be 12 years ago, and I guess I was about 3 years into my new sobriety, and I was pretty deep into, you know, posting pictures about running and sunrises and sayings and posting lyrics and just, you know, looking to be recognized by other people while being sober, right? Was it on the verge of being unmanageable? A little bit. But at the same time, I don't regret. But how many other things in our lives can become unmanageable that we don't pick up a coin for, right? I don't know. It's interesting. You know, I know people that, you know, I mean, cigarettes are a huge addiction, right? Food is a huge addiction, you know, but are they unmanageable? It is clear to me in my life that alcohol and drugs have become unmanageable. My life was a disaster, right? And I know this because as soon as I put them down, my life just sprung up, right? It just blew up like... It doesn't take much, I don't think, if you're free from drugs and alcohol, to have a somewhat decent life. drugs and alcohol really, really hampered my life for a long time. And, you know, I spoke on Wednesday because it was my anniversary. And, you know, after I shared, the guy asked me if I wanted to pick a topic, and I said, yeah, fear. And because fear is, you know, as a guy that's been doing this for a long time, the biggest thing that I've learned in this whole thing is that I am tortured by fear. Self-centered fear, regular fear, you know, it's just, now it doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to be a big monster jumping out of the bushes and that kind of fear, but just this, will they like me? Will I be good enough? Am I going to be late? Am I going to survive, right? Are we going to make it? This constant backpack of fear that I carry around. And like I shared in the meeting, I go, these 12 steps, because at the end of the 12 steps, I've said this, right? It's the serenity prayer. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The courage, right? What's the opposite of fear? Courage, right? And when a person or me has worked these steps, that's the one thing that starts to disappear is the fear, right? I remember driving down the road and when I first got sober and just having this overwhelming feeling of peace, right, and comfort, and the one thing that was missing was fear, right? I had such bad behaviors in my addiction. The main one was that I was a drunk driver. So every morning I would wake up, thank God I didn't kill anybody, shame and regret that I even was out doing and driving and behaving the way I was, and then fear that I was going to do it again, right? And so coming down that road, leaving that first meeting free of alcohol and drugs, driving down the highway, minus all fear, right? I was, that whole backpack of fear that I'd carried around for so long had weighted me down and carried and such a burden on me for so long. When I finally relieved myself of it, it was like, oh, I felt like Superman, right? I don't know. I remember then I was probably about 185, 190 when I got sober. And I remember going to the gym and spinning and losing probably 30 pounds. I think I got down to about 160, 165, so maybe 20 pounds. But I just remember being so much lighter. I was so burdened by this weight. And it's the same thing with fear. And I just remember, you know, this, and I think that's what they call the pink cloud, right? I know I've talked about this. I did a podcast the other day and didn't finish it, so hopefully it was in that podcast that I talked about it and not in another one. But just being free and driving down that road and thinking, my God, and I think that this is what the pink cloud is. You know, this is that, because when I came in, I was like, hell yeah, I'm back, baby. I love it. Free of fear. I'm getting sober. Everybody should recognize it. Look how awesome I'm doing. And people were saying, you're doing awesome, right? I'm so proud of you, Tommy. My mom was still alive back then, and she was so proud of me. And my dad, he was proud of me, right? My parents had experienced me trying to get sober, or at least telling them I was trying to get sober, but never really experienced me trying to actually get sober, right? Actually going to meetings, working with a sponsor, not drinking and drugging, right? And loving it, right? And loving it. And so, you know, as I shared in the meeting, I go, these 12 steps work correctly, removes the fear, right? We can live in a state of a pink cloud all the time, right? And I shared in the meeting, I go, I fear nothing today. Nothing, right? I do everything I'm supposed to do when I'm supposed to do it, which allows me to be free of fear later on down the road. Right, taxes is a big thing. It seems to be sort of a hot topic lately of different people, you know, getting caught and not paying their taxes. And I remember my buddy Matt says, listen, man, because that was part of me opening the salon. He's like, get an accountant and get a payroll company because you'll either pay them or you're going to pay the tax man. And I said, you got it. And I've always had an accountant and I've always had a tax guy. They happen to be in the same building, right? But they... That's actually not true. My accountant, yes, sort of the same thing. But the point is I take care of that now so I don't have to have fear about that later, right? Procrastination creates fear, right? I've talked about that. I get fear in the mailbox. I mean, there are things that get me weirded out, but it's by my own choice, right? Shit just isn't popping up today in my life like it used to. But I do procrastinate, right? There are things I've shared about. In fact, I mean, to be honest, I haven't been over the mailbox in probably a week. Just a lot going on, procrastinating, starting to fall back in those old habits, opening up my app, going on the bank app, just sending money to AT&T. Don't even know what I owe them. Fuck it. Here's 200. I don't know. Maybe that'll cover something. Right. And I start to get a little bit of fear. Right. Really, I don't even know if it's fear or just sort of disappointment, you know, that I'm sort of falling back into this unmanageable routine a little bit again. But, you know, it's a new year coming up. We can make some New Year's resolutions. Maybe that will be one, to go to the mailbox every day. But for some reason, that one still gets me. But the reality is I'm not that afraid of it, right? I still send money. I just don't, just not great. I'm just not happy about how I'm doing it, but I am doing it. It's not like I have this fear of one day they're going to be like, hey, you're turning off your phone because you haven't sent any money. But yeah, that was my, you know, that was the topic that I wanted to talk about, was fear, because that, I don't think, I know when I came into this program, and you know, when I read that, right, you know, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And I said, I didn't come here for that, right? I didn't come into this program for that prayer. I said, you couldn't, if you wanted to find, if you had that prayer and you wanted to see someone the farthest opposite from that, it was me. I was the most opposite person from that prayer that you could find, right? No desire for that, didn't come in for that, came in because I got caught too much. But that today is what keeps me here, right? It's one of the most amazing things, you know, and I think that's my message today, is that, you know, we come here because of the alcohol, but man, this program will help relieve us from some of the craziest shit, and one of them being fear, right? And today I'm living a life beyond my wildest dreams. And, you know, I said this in the meeting. I go, you know, I wasn't even capable of dreaming this life, right? I wasn't even capable of dreaming this life. So I don't know. I just want to get back into the routine of doing this podcast. And I'm super excited about paddling. I'm grateful to be sober today. Yeah, just a wonderful life. All right, I'm going to read a daily reflections and I'm going to get out of here. So, December the 30th, anonymity. I used to think, I remember when I first came in and I used to always read anonymity. And when you have to read it in like the preamble or whatever it is, anonymity. And I used to just make sure I could say it, but I love it when people struggle with anonymity. Anonymity. So, anonymity. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. We've talked about this for sure. This is a hot topic for Tom. Tradition 12 became important early in my sobriety, and along with the 12 steps, it continues to be a must in my recovery. I became aware after I joined the fellowship that I had personality problems, so that when I first heard it, the tradition's message was very clear. There exists an immediate way for me to face with others my alcoholism and attendant anger, defensiveness, offensiveness. I saw Tradition 12 as being a great ego deflator. It relived my anger and gave me a chance to utilize the principles of the program. All of the steps in this particular tradition have guided me over decades of continuous sobriety. I'm grateful to those who were here when I needed them. Yeah. Yeah, I've talked about this. It's because people, you know, anonymity is for, you know, I've said this, what I've read, what I've learned, you know, it was tough being an alcoholic in those early days, right? Because there wasn't a solution. You were destined to be a pain in the ass, and everybody knew it. And it was so bad that, you know, you had to be sent away because there's just nothing could fix you. And so when there was a solution and people started to get better, I think people still had this attitude like, I don't know, right? I don't know. So it was important to stay anonymous. It's important to stay anonymous as the program goes, because it does serve self to not be anonymous. And I hear this all the time, and I've seen it all the time. People will say their last name. And I just, there's a meeting I go to. I won't say the meeting because it's not about pointing him out, but he says his last name, and he says it because he wants people to be able to find him. And that's what self will tell us, right? You need to tell out your last name, right, so people can find you. Like, you're just at a different level. And it's all ego. It's all ego. I'm sure it's a great idea. It's a fantastic idea, right? But that's not the whole point is it says not to, right? That's really the facts. We're an anonymous program. We need to stay anonymous. We don't put our last names out there. And people love to do it. I'm a real alcoholic. And I'm just like, you know, that's your personal, that's personalities over principles. Principles are key. You know, I know I talked about this, but I'll just say it again. You know, we had a business meeting that went all crazy, right? And different groups were asking for money, and we were, you know, yeah, different groups were asking for money. And our personality is like, yeah, let's send them extra money. Yeah, it's Christmas, right? But the principles say that this is how much we're supposed to give each group. I think it's 30, 30, 30, right? We split it up three ways, and this is how much we give, and this is the principles that have been put down by this program. And when a group says, hey, we're, you know, times are tight, we need extra money, do you mind donating? Then the personalities come in, because all of our personalities, some of us are like, oh, yeah, let's give extra money. I'm like, yeah, send them some extra money. What do we care, right? But then somebody's like, you know, but that's not what we do. And then it became who, how much, right? They wanted like 60% of the money. And I'm like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. And finally, this guy, Tommy, who I love, he's from New York and he's got a shitload of time. He's like, you know, the principles are, this is what we do. The outline has been given. This is what we give to each group. If they want more money, then they have to address and change the principles and then let everybody know the principles are changed. And then we will do according to what they say. But anything other than that is personality, a personal opinion, a thought, someone's feelings, right? Feelings fuck up things. Excuse my language. And so, you know, and we were kind of, it got tense in the meeting. And I loved what he said. He goes, hey, principles over personalities. Whatever they say is what we do. If they want to change it, then they need to change it and let us know. And he was right. And I saw him the other day and I said, you know, I want Tommy, I just want to tell you, I appreciate what you said, because that's right. Principles over personalities is how we should be. And, you know, I've seen a lot of things get screwed up by personalities. You know, a lot of businesses out there that don't have a program like this, you know, that aren't based around a program like this, fall apart because of personalities over principles. I was just reading about that Bankman-Fried guy. You know, he's going to spend, I don't know, 25, 30 years in jail because personalities got involved over principles. And if they'd have just stuck with the principles, they could be doing a really great business today. But personalities got involved. Anyway, hey, I appreciate it. I hope everyone has a great day. Go paddle. Get outside and walk. Or don't, whatever you want to do, but I appreciate you, and stay sober, and we'll catch up later. Bye-bye.